Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Pei Gimel. We begin about 10 lines from the top with the new Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Ha'atzamos v'hagidin v'hanosar yisrufu b'shisha asar. Now, we know that you're supposed to eat the Korban Pesach on the night of Tesvav. It's shechted in the afternoon on your Dalet, and it's eaten the night of Tesvav. Anything that's left over beyond that is called Nosar. We'll have a machlokas later in the Masechta. When do we define the start of Nosar, the leftover? Is it from Chatzos, like the opinion of Eliezer, or is it going to be all the way until the morning, like the opinion of Chachamim? In any event, once it is beyond this period of time, it's called Nosar. So any meat that is left over must be burnt. That's the basic din of Nosar. But we also have other parts of the body that may or may not have meat inside of them that also have to be considered nosar. So, for example, the atzamos might have marrow inside. Now, the marrow inside is considered basar, and it would have to be burnt as well when the time period of nosar came and went. So the marrow inside has to be burnt, but you're not allowed to take the marrow out because there's a separate isser, the etzrim lo sisperu bo, that you're not allowed to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. So marrow bones, by definition, are going to also be included in the requirement to burn them because of the moach, the marrow that's inside of them. Likewise, the gidin are parts of the body. We'll see exactly, the Gemara will define which parts of the body. Gidin are always translated as sinews, which isn't a medical term, and really means something that goes from one point in the body to another point in the body and can include a whole bunch of things, including muscles and tendons, blood vessels, arteries and veins, or nerves. So these gidin also are included in the prohibition of yisrufu if there is some sort of an ability to it, and therefore it is like nosar. So the atzamos and gidin have an aspect of nosar to them, and that's why they're included in the requirement to be burnt. But they're not pure nosar, as we'll see as we go through the Gemara. So with that little mini introduction, we can understand the Mishnah that tells us that all of these types of edible food, some of which are classical nosar, the actual meat itself, and the atzamos and the gidin, have to be burned. Now, as we'll see, they're not burned the following morning when the prohibition of nosar already has taken effect, according to even the Chachamim, which would be the 15th of the month of Nisan, but they're burnt on the first day of Chol HaMoed in Eretz Yisrael, which is the 16th of the month, and the Gemara will explain why, because you can't go and burn a Chol item, the Korban Pesach was brought on Chol, on Shabbos or Yom Tov. And therefore, if in fact Chol Shisha Solios B'Shabbos, if the first day of Pesach is on Friday, Tezvav is Friday, so then Tez Zayin is Shabbos, so then you can't burn it on Shabbos either, because Chol can't be burned on Shabbos, it can't be burned on Yom Tov, so then you push it off till Sunday, which is the 17th day of the month of Nisan, and that's what the Mishnah tells us. Chol Shisha Sor Lios B'Shabbos, if the 16th day of the month, which is normally when you'd burn it, the first day of Chol HaMoed, is Shabbos, so then Yisrufu B'Yud Zayin, you go burn it on Yud Zayin, as the Mishnah tells us, V'Yishenun Doch and Lois HaShabbos, Lois HaYom Tov, because the burning of the Nosar, the Atzomos and the Gidim as well, is not Docha, either Shabbos or Yom Tov. That's why it's not burnt on the 15th, which is Yom Tov always, and it's not burnt on the 16th, if the 16th is Shabbos. More will explain the reasoning why. Why don't we say over here, Mitzvah Saseh of burning should be Docha, the Los Saseh of not being allowed to go and do this on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Gemara starts off and tells us, Amar Rav Mari Baravua, Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Mari Baravua says in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak, and he says the following. Atzamos kachim, the bones of any type of korban, kachim here is general kachim, not the Korban Pesach specifically, but the atzamos of kachim, sheshimshu nosar, that have marrow inside of them, and therefore they're basically a yad for the nosar. They are something that the nosar is being carried within them, so therefore, mitam nesiyadayim. The rabbis institute a rabbinical decree that the nosar was given a rabbinical prohibition of being mitame yesiyadayim. Rashi points out, shegazru chachamim shiyatame yesiyadayim, because of the strict prohibition of nosar. If a person eats nosar, he's chayiv kareis. So the rabbis gave it a little bit of oomph in the sense that even the nosar itself would be mitame yadayim. People were very, very careful about tumas yadayim, tumah in general, and therefore by making the nosar tame, they'll make sure that people will either not let it become nosar, or they'll burn it right away, so there shouldn't be any takkola coming from it. We'll learn this later in the parak, we'll learn this later in the Masechta as well. So this din, that the nosar is tame, so Rav Mari Baravua says in the Rabbi Yitzchak that the bones themselves were given this same prohibition. Mitamen esayadayim, that the bones which have the moach inside of them are mitamen esayadayim. Hol v'nasa basis l'dover rasu, because they are a base for a davar aser. Just like on Shabbos, you're not allowed to move the bosses for a davar aser. You can't move the tray that the candlesticks are on. The tray is a bosses for davar aser. So to over here, the bones are given the same status. Rashi says that kinoser atzmo, they're given the status of noser, even though the bones themselves are not able to be eaten, they're not edible, and therefore the bone itself should not be required to be burned, but because it has noser inside of it, the moach inside of it, so the rabbis gave it the same status as the moach inside of it. That's what was said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. So name of Messiah, let us say that our Mishnah is in direct support of what Rav Mari Bar Avuah said in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak. Our Mishnah said, Ha'atzomos v'agidiv anosar, yisufu l'shisha asar. So what does that mean? Hani atzomos hechidami. What type of bones are we talking about? I assumed and said that we're dealing here with bones that are marrow bones. So the Gemara questions this. The Gemara says, Ilemo doles b'hu moach, if you're telling me that there is no marrow inside of these bones. Certain bones have marrow inside of them, and other bones have extremely small amounts of marrow inside of them. The long bones of the body, they're classically like the bones of the legs and the arms, they have a lot of marrow inside of them. But there are other bones in the body that really have minimal, if any, marrow inside of them. So therefore, Elaim, are you telling me the last one, you're talking about a bone that doesn't have marrow inside of it, so lama b'sreifa, then what is the requirement to go and burn it? There is no requirement to go burn non-edible parts of the body. So you don't have to go and burn something that isn't considered basar. It's not considered edible. So all you have to do in that situation is nish dinhu. You get rid of it. You can just throw it away. You toss it away. So if we're dealing with non-marrow bones, then you wouldn't have the requirement to burn them. So elopshita, obviously, this bumach, we're talking here in our Mishnah that you do have marrow inside of them. They're long bones that have marrow inside of them. Now, if you say, like Rav Mari Bar Avuah on Rabbi Yitzchak, then there's no problem. If you say this is in fact a rabbinical gezeira that the rabbi said, that if you're mishamish the noser, so then you're like the noser, then it has to be burnt as well. We understand. Very good. However, if you don't say like Rabbi Yitzchak, Eliyamis Shimush Noser Lav Milsahi, Lama Luhu Sreifa, then why would you in fact have to go do Sreifa on the bones? All you should have to do is Nisperinu, break it open, and now Unechaltso Lamoach Didhu Vinisrefe, take out the moach from inside of it, take out the marrow from inside the bone that you just broke open, and burn the marrow, because the marrow does require burning, that is edible, and then throw away the remainder of the bone. Vinishdinu Lididhu, the broken bone, you now can throw away. It's been drained of its marrow, and therefore you can just throw it away. So obviously, that's not what our Mishnah said. Ella, Lav Shmamino, therefore let's bring a raya from our Mishnah to Rav Mari Bar Avuah, Rav Yitzchak, the Shimush Noser Milsahi. Sounds like a very good proof. Mor says maybe no. Amri lo. That's not true. It's not a good proof. Because the Olam, you could say, Emelcha Shimush Noser Lav Milsahi. You can in fact say that the bones are not given the same status as the Nosar inside of them, the Moach inside of them. But then how come you have to go and burn it? Because Kersavar, the Tana of our Mishnah, in fact holds, when it says Etzem Losishru Bo, the word Bo is telling us in it means not only in a kosher carbon Pesach, but kosher, but also vafilu posel, that this prohibition against breaking open the bones is retained even after the Zman. So it's not just why you could eat the carbon Pesach that there's an issur of don't break the bones, etzem losish berubo, but even after it's nosar, there still is a prohibition, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, and that's why you have to go burn the bones, because you're not allowed to break them. You're right, the bones themselves are not mishamesh denosa. The bones themselves have no special status. But since you can't break the bones, there's still the isser, so therefore you have to go and burn the bones because of the marrow that's inside of them, but not because Shimush Nosar Milsahi. In fact, Shimush Nosar Lav Milsahi. And therefore, it's only because you're not allowed to break the bones, even if they're pasul. So we don't have a riot to Rabbi Yitzchak. Gemara says, no, we do. Are you really suggesting, I feel a bit pasul, so kedaitach? Are you really suggesting that it's also to break open the bones that are beyond the period of time of being able to eat the meat? When it's already Nosar for the meat, there still is an issur of etzel losish rubo? But that's not true. We learn in the Mishnah on Daf Pei Dalet in tomorrow's Shia, where it's going to tell us what's not. Aval Hamosir Batahar, if you leave over real Tahar meat, it's no sir, it's beyond its time. Or Vashover Batomei, or you break a bone of a Tomei carbon pesach. They became tameh. Ain't no sofek as rabbayim. There is no malchus. In other words, you're not chayiv in this situation. So it clearly says hashover b'tameh ain't no sofek as rabbayim. So therefore, it clearly is telling me that you are allowed to go and break a bone when it's beyond its time. Either it's tameh or if it's beyond the time of being able to eat it. If it's no sir, so then you clearly see that there is no isser of etzem lo sish rubo when it's possible. Where it says nope. That Mishnah on Pei Dalet doesn't contradict our Mishnah over here. Lo kasha, you know why? Kan shoyts lo shasa kosher. In our Mishnah here, where we're saying that the atzamos are included in the burning, it's because there was a time of kosher. It was a perfectly good carbon pesach, and now it became beyond its shasa kosher, and therefore that's why the iser of etzem lo sish rubo still applies. But in the Mishnah on Pei Dalet, tomorrow Shia, kan shloyts lo shasa kosher. It was tameh right after the Shechita became Tomei before the Zrika. And therefore, it never had a Shasa Kosher. If it never had a Shasa Kosher, so that's why there is no Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo. The Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo applies, even if it's possible, as long as it was Shasa Kosher. That's our Mishnah. And then the next Mishnah on Pei Dalet, it never had a Shasa Kosher, so therefore the Isser of Etzem Lo Sish Berubo doesn't apply. Uman Tana, Dushoni Lebein, Shoyzer Lo Shasa Kosher, Lo Hoyzer Lo Shasa Kosher. Is there a Tana that could be the Tana of our Mishnah on Pei Gimel and the Tana also of the Mishnah on Pei Dalet? Is there such a Tana? Where it says, yes, Rabbi Yaakovi. This is the sheet of Rabbi Yaakov. What is the sheet of Rabbi Yaakov? Where do we see this? It's in a Brisa, the Tanya. The Pasuk says, the Etzem Lo Sish Berubo, you're not allowed to break the bones of the Korban Pesach. So it says the word bo, Etzem Lo Sish Berubo, bo is a miut, but kosher, but lo bit posul. So the Tana Kam over here says that in a kosher carbon pesach, etzem lo sish rubo, it, in the kosher carbon pesach, you're not allowed to break the bones. But the implication is lo b'posul. Now, what does it mean, b'kosher, yes, but b'posul lo? So the way Tosus understands this, in Dibra Maskul, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echodzeh, the Echodzeh, so Tosus says that what we see over here is that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Shimon Pligi aliba de Tanakama. So this opinion that we have of the Tanakama is now going to be discussed. And Tosus points out we have this style of Gemara elsewhere. It's not three shitas that we have over here, but we have the Tanakama who says that etzem lo sish rubo is a miut, and it only applies to a kosher carbon pesach, but not a possible carbon pesach. And on this statement of the Tanakama, we have two opinions. Rabbi Yaakov explains it as follows. Rabbi Yaakov omer that the Tanakama is holding, if it once was kosher, the meat was kosher for some period of time. After the Zrika, it was kosher, and only then it subsequently became tameh, or there was a psul of lina. So then in this situation, and now it's either tameh, or it's lina, it's beyond its time, so yesh bo mishum mishviras etzem. Then the posul carbon pesach still has a restriction, it still has the prohibition of etzem lo sish berubo. Oh, this is exactly the shita that we just said on Mishnah on Pei Gimel, and the Mishnah on Pei Dalet follow the shita of Rabbi Yaakov. However, lo hayso lo shasa kosher, if it never was good, it became tameh after the shlita, before the zrika, so it never had a shasa kosher, so ein bo mishum mishviras etzem. Oh, that's how you explain the Mishnah on Pei Dalet. So this is the shita of Rabbi Yaakov on our Mishnah on Pei Gimel and on Pei Dalet. However, we then have an alternate opinion. We have Rabbi Shimon, who explains the Tanakhama as follows. He says, Echodzeh v'echodzeh, ein bo mishum shiras ha'etzem. He says, no, if it's possible, it doesn't have an iser anymore of shiras ha'etzem. Only a kosher, a carbon pesach, while it's kosher, has an iser of etzem lo sish berubo. So he argues with Rabbi Yaakov. He obviously cannot be the author of the Mishnayis on Pei Gimel and Pei Dalet, but Rabbi Yaakov can be. So the bottom line is, the attempted raya that we wanted to bring to Rav Mori Bar Avua in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok, that we say that Shimush Nosar Milsi is not a good raya. We didn't prove him wrong, but it's not a good raya. Now he says, Meisvei, let's show you that this statement of Rav Mori Bar Avua, Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, is in fact wrong from the following brisa. Call Atzamos Kedo HaKotchim, all the bones of Kotchim, ain't tuna sreifa. In general, do not requires Srefer. Now, the Isser of Noser is not just a specific Isser for the Korban Pesach, it's an Isser that applies to all Korbanos. And yet, all Korbanos don't have any problem with breaking the bones. So therefore, the bones of Kotchim are not obligated to be burned because you break open the bones and take out the Moach, and that's why you burn the Noser, but you can throw the bones away. The one exception, of course, being the Brice that tells us, which Miatzomas HaPesach, the bones of the Korban Pesach, the Miatakola. There, we make you burn the bones because it could lead to a takala that you're going to go break the bones, which would be an isser. Now, Hani atzamos hechi dami. What type of bones again are we talking about over here? Ilema the last bumoach. We're talking about non-marrow bones. They don't have marrow inside of them. So lamulu sreifa. So then, why would you have to go and burn them? The bones normally are not considered edible, and you don't have to go and burn them. They're not nosar. It's only the marrow inside of it. So if you're dealing with non-marrow bones, lamulu sreifa. There is no din of sreifa. El pshita. Obviously, this Bryce is talking about the isbahumoach. We're talking about marrow bones, the long bones of the body. And therefore, b'isokadaitoch shimush nosar milsehi, if in fact, Rav Mori Bar Avua says in the name of Yitzchak that shimush, in fact, of nosar makes it something, it is in fact required to burn it, so then, atzamus kachim, amai ein tuna sefer. So then, why don't we have to burn the bones of kachim? They have marrow inside of them. So, kasha, if you're telling me that it's milsa, then you should have to go burn the bones of kashim. But it says in the Braisa, call out some of the kashim, ain't on the sreifa, only the carbon pasach. So, kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak, shita. So, on Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he says, no, it's not a kasha. Hochma Yiskin, you know what we're talking about? You know what we're dealing here with? The bones were already broken. And if the bones are broken, the marrow has been taken out. So there's no marrow inside. So therefore, the bones have no kedusha whatsoever. So, atzamos kashim, the ain behem yishrim shvirah sa'etzem. The bones of kachim don't have any prohibition involved in breaking the bones. You're allowed to break the bones of a regular carbon. It's only carbon pesach. We're supposed to be like rich people. Rich people don't suck out the last bit of marrow. They're not starving. So therefore, we're supposed to be like royalty. We're supposed to be free people on the night of Pesach. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, don't break the bones because you're not a poor person that has to suck out the little bit of marrow. But a regular carbon, if you wish to, you can go break the bones. Not a problem. So, this is what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says. The atzamos of kachim, the by mishum shviras etzem. There is no problem with shviras etzem. So kamei the nevu nosar chatzinu. When we find these broken bones, when did they break? So we're allowed to assume that they broke before the time of nosar. So therefore, the marrow was taken out when, in fact, they were able to be eaten, and therefore the bones never served as a yad for nosar. And therefore, that's why there is no problem over here in getting rid of the empty bones. Below havi shimush nosar, they never served as a yad for nosar. Therefore, there never was a question of is it milsehi or not milsehi. It just never served as a yad for nosar because we assumed that the marrow was taken out. These bones were broken open. We're assuming the marrow was taken out while it was still kosher to eat it. And therefore, below bo sreifa. That's why these bones don't require sreifa in general of atzamos kachim. Atzamos Pesach, however, the bones of the Korban Pesach, which there's a prohibition, there's an issur to break the bones. The Eshbem Yishum Shiras Etzem. So, according to Rabbi Shimon, for example, it's a prohibition only while they're kosher. And even according to Rabbi Yaakov, they had to have had a shas of kosher in order for it to be an issur of Atzamos Ishrubo. So the Atzamos of Pesach are different. Lebasar, the Nevu, Nosar, Hu, the Chaltzinu. Here we have to assume that while it was a good kosher of Korban Pesach, nobody broke the bones. We assume that people did not make such an issur. And therefore, if you find these bones that are broken, Lebasar, the Nevu, Nosar, Hu, the Chaltzinu, Vahavalu, Shimush, Nosar. So therefore, they had to have become Nosar because only then does the prohibition against breaking them no longer apply. But for that period of time, until you break them, they were mishamish nosar. And therefore, v'avalu shimush nosar, ubo sreifa. And therefore, they do require sreifa, because, in fact, Rav Yitzchak's din is right. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak defends Rav Yitzchak, and he says that it is milsehi, and therefore, you have to go and burn the bones. That's teretz number one. Where it says, Rav Zudomar, teretz number two. Hogmai Eskin, you know what we're dealing with over here, Kagon, and we turn to Pei Gimel, Omud Beis. We're dealing over here with Shemitzon, Tziburin, Tziburin. We find them piled up. And Rashi says, Ubodak El Yonim, Umitzon Chalutzin. And he only checks the ones on the top of this pile of bones. And he finds all the ones on the top are all broken open, and the marrow has been taken out. So therefore, Shemitzon, Tziburin, Tziburin, Umehen Chalutzin. And he noticed that the top ones are all, the marrow has been removed, but he doesn't go and check the bottom ones. So if you're dealing over here with atzamos of kachim, if you're dealing with bones that are all kachim, non-carbon pesach, but bones of kachim, so it's enough that you check the top, and as long as you see that the top don't have any marrow inside of them, then by mishum shviras etzem, since there's no problem with shviras etzem, so if the top ones have been broken open, we can assume, l'kulu havichalus lehu, v'yachalhu. We can assume, just like the top ones had the marrow taken out, so to the bottom ones, Mistama had the marrow taken out. The low boy is Sreifa. And therefore, all the bones are presumed over here not to have marrow inside of them. And you don't have to go and burn any of them because there's no chiv to burn the bones. There's only chiv to burn the marrow inside of them. And from the top, we see that there's no marrow. We're allowed to presume that the bottom has no marrow as well. As Rashi says, lo boy lemidak tachtonim. You're not obligated to go and check out the bottom ones. You have the right halachically to say, well, if the top ones are all the marrow taken out, mistum, the bottom ones are also the marrow taken out. However, that's a regular atzomos of kachim. Atzomos of hakorim pesach, atzomos of pesach, however, the yesh b'mishum shirizetzim, here, there is a prohibition against breaking the bones. So we don't know for certain that all the bottom ones have been broken. We can't say that for certain that all of them had the marrow taken out after they no longer were edible. So dilma, hani dechaltzinu, maybe the top ones, you took out the marrow, they were broken after the prohibition of no longer applies. However, the bottom ones, ulahanach, lo chaltzinu, maybe you didn't take them out because there is a prohibition involved in breaking them, so maybe they didn't get to break all the bottom ones and there still is marrow inside of them. And therefore, uboy srefa, and therefore we say that you have to burn the entire pile over here because you're not sure are there some bones that maybe have marrow inside of them. And that's what Rashi says. Second line of the Rashi's. Avol atzomos ha-pesach boil l'mivda kulu. You have to go check the entire pile. And this, Baha'u'llah, Poli Rav Zvid, are the Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman had given the first teretz and said that you have to presume that the bones were broken after the Korban Pesach already was no sir, the marrow inside was no sir, and therefore they were a yad, and therefore, havelu shimush no sir, uboy srefa. Rav Zvid says, no, you don't have to be choshesh for that. He says, di matzon chalutzin lo chomer shimush no sir kulehai. He says, no, if you find them broken, then you don't have to presume that they were shimush no sir. Latzricho shis. That it was only after they became an Isser that they were broken. So Rav Zvid disagrees and he says, you have to go and burn the whole pile. You can't assume just because the top ones are broken that the bottom ones are broken as well. Now the top ones, he doesn't require Sreifa on because you don't have to go and assume Milsahi in this situation and take the Machmir opinion that they have to go and be burned. But the bottom ones that you don't know about, those you have to burn. And the implication is that if you did do the bdika on all of them, then you wouldn't have to go and burn them. He doesn't go so far as Rav Nachman did to say that they definitely were meshamish nosar. Since it's unclear when the bones were broken, maybe they were not meshamish nosar, so al safek, he doesn't require you to go and burn the bones that were broken open. But the bones that weren't broken open, those he would agree, that have to be burned because they were meshamish nosar. Gemara continues and now discusses what are the gidim that we spoke about in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kol hagidin basar, in general, the gidin, again, these sinews, these parts of the body that go from one place to another place, so it could be the tendons, which are the ends of muscles, or it could be blood vessels, arteries or veins, or it could be nerves. These gidin are all considered basar, they're all considered edible, with one exception. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, chutz mi gidei tzavar, except for the gidim that are in the neck. Rashi says, this is part of the neck that's etzel harachov, it's next to the wide part of the neck, the kosha, and it's hard, the etzba amhu, and it is considered like a shtick wood, it's considered not edible. The Torah tells us that only pieces of meat, v'ochlu es habasar, you have to go eat the korban pesach, and therefore anything that's nosar, that was once basar, has to be burnt as nosar. But this cervical ligament, this neck sinew, is not considered to be basar because it's hard and it's not edible, and therefore the gidin that the Mishnah is talking about are this cervical ligament that we're talking about, this gid of the neck. The Gemara questions, however, this statement that Yehuda made in the name of Rav, and it says, it's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Hatzamos, v'yagidim v'anosu yisufu b'shisho, so you have to go burn them, the gidim, on the 16th day, the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Now, what gidin are we talking about? Just like we asked the question with the Hatzamos, Hani gidin hechidami. What gidin are we talking about? Ile mo gidin basar. If you're telling me that it's these sinews that are edible, so they're basar, so v'ochlu es habasar nichlinu, then you should eat them. And if you didn't eat them, v'di tosar, so then hainu nosar. And this is a classical case of nosar. So why would you tell us in the Mishnah gidim and nosar? Gidim are basar, so they don't need a special mention. If they're included in basar, so then you're supposed to eat them. And if they're left over, they become nosar. So you wouldn't have to mention gidin if they were regular basar. So therefore, Elipshita must be the reason why Mishnah separates out and mentions specifically the Gidin. Elipshita, it's talking about Gidit Savar. It's talking about these non-edible Gidim. But if they're non-edible, so then why do they have to be burned? Iyamas b'shlomo basar ninu. If you say, well, they're very hard, they're really not edible, but they could be edible b'dchak, so then it's basar. I understand why you're telling it to me. Amatulachi b'yisrefa. That's why they have to require Sreifa if it's beyond the time of eating them. But if you're telling me, Eliyamis, la basa ninu, but if you're telling me, like Rav Yehuda Marav says, that they're not considered basa, the gidei tzavar are inedible, so then, lama luhu sreifa, so zakasha, why would you go and burn them? They don't require burning. So Amar Ruchisa says, lo nitzricha el gidanosha. So you're right, he says, Rav Yehuda Marav is incorrect. We're not talking about the gidei tzavar, you know what we're talking about? The gidanosha. The gidanosha is, of course, the prohibition against eating. The Gid HaNosha is an Issa Daraisa, and we're specifically going only according to the Shita Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda. There's a famous Machlokes in the Gemara as to whether the Gid HaNosha applies to both the right and the left Gid HaNosha. We'll use the term Gid HaNosha for the sciatic nerve. That's how it's usually translated. So, does it include both the right and the left sciatic nerve? That's the opinion of the Chachamim. But Rabbi Yehuda makes a drasha because it calls it Gid Hanosha, so therefore the Hey Hayidiyah tells us it's the Gid Hanosha, which implies only one of the two. And according to Rav Yehuda, it's the right one. Valiba the Rav Yehuda, the Tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer, Einu Noeg Ela Biachas, Vadas Machras, Shoyomim. And he says it makes sense that it should be the right one. The Gid Hanosha is Mistama going to be the right Gid Hanosha. We always take preference to the right over the left. And therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, one of the Gid HaNosha is Gid HaNosha. The other Gid HaNosha doesn't have the halachic status of being the Gid HaNosha that is prohibited. So therefore, the Gidin that we're referring to is going according to Rav Yehuda, that it's talking about the left Gid HaNosha that has a din of basar, and that's why it has to be burned. But since the right Gid HaNosha doesn't have the status of being basar, it's also to eat it, so therefore it's not basar, and therefore that is the one that is not requiring sreifa, and it's only the left Gid HaNosha, according to Rav Yehuda, that our Mishnah is talking about when it says, Hatzamos v'hagidin v'hanosar yisrufu. So Gemara asks the obvious question, Vela Tivsho, the Safuki Mesavkale Rav Yehuda. Instead of saying that Rav Yehuda says clearly it's the right Gid HaNosha, maybe we could learn from here that it's unclear, Safuke Mesavkale, he doesn't know whether it means the right Gid HaNosha or the left Gid HaNosha. Because if you're telling me that it really means the right Gid HaNosha, the Mivshit Pshitale. So then, if you know it's the right Gid HaNosha, so the right Gid HaNosha has the status of not being Basar, and the left Gid HaNosha has the status of being Basar, so then what's the question? The left-sided Gid HaNosha, Hayideh Teira, the one that is permissible to eat, so Nechle, you're supposed to eat it. Udi Sura, and the right side of Gid HaNosha, which is also to eat, Nishtei, you just have to throw it away, because it's not Basar. So, Lamele Sreifa. So then why would you have any Sreifa, according to Rav Yehuda? The idea that, okay, it's only one of the two Gid HaNoshas, that doesn't help us. The one that's Asur is Asur, it's not Basar, and you shouldn't have to burn it. And the one that is edible, it is Basar, so then, of course, it's included in the din of Basar, and the din of Nosa. So why do you have to mention it separately? So where it says, no, Amar Vika Bar Chinina, you have two Gid HaNoshas, and they got mixed up. Kegon, Shehukru, they did the Nekira, they did the removing of the Gid HaNosha from the meat, and they put it aside, and they put the right one aside and the left one aside, ubasof disarvu, and now they're mixed together. So one of them is meat, and one of them is not meat. So in this situation, al suffik, you have to burn both of them. That's what we're dealing with. Gemara gives another teretz. Rav Ashi Amar, lo nitzucha, you know what, the gid that we're talking about in the Mishnah, lo nitzucha el l'shamno the gid hanoshe. Midarai, so only the gid hanoshe is osur. But the minog was not to go and eat the kosher fats that are surrounding the Gid HaNosha. These fats are technically 100% permissible to eat. However, the minhag was not to go and eat them. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Sham no Mutter, the fat that surrounds the Gid HaNosha, it's not chelev, it's shuman, and shuman is permissible, and therefore, these fats that are surrounding the Gid HaNosha are min hadin, min haTorah, absolutely permitted to be eaten. However, Yisrael Kedoshim, the Jewish people, are holy people, and they're concerned that if you eat the fats around the Gid HaNosha, which are permissible, you may end up having a little piece of Gid HaNosha. And therefore, v'noagimbo iser, there's a minog, not an iser derabanan, but a minog, v'noagimbo iser. And therefore, this is the gidin that we're talking about here. It's the shamno of the gid that requires burning. When the Mishnah says the gidin, so they wouldn't do the removal of the Gid HaNosha with all of its fats, that the trebering, the nikira, that takes a long time, the nikra, that takes a long time to go and do, so they would leave it. They just took the whole thing out without trying to separate out the Gid HaNosha from the permissible fat and meat around it, and therefore they burnt all of this. That's the Gidin that we're referring to. That's the Teretz of Rav Ashi. Ravina gives another teretz. Ravina mar bachitzom. There's two gids. There's the inner gid hanoshe, and then there's the outer gid that isn't the gid hanoshe. Now, there's an issa derabanan. Here we have a real issa, not just a minug, not to eat either of these two gidim. One is an issa deraisa, the inner gid, and then you have the outer gid, which is the chitzon, and that is an issa derabanan. And Ravina says, this is what we're referring to, midaraisa, you're allowed to eat it, so it's called basa. Midarabanan, you don't eat it, so therefore, we require it to have sreifa. And this goes with Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Shnei Gidin Heim, Pinimi, Asomach Liatzem, Osir, V'chayevim Olav. They have the inner Gid HaNoshe, which is the real Gid HaNoshe, which is the Issa Daraisa, and that's the one that's inside, closer to the bone, and if you eat that, you're chayev the Issa of eating Gid HaNoshe. And you'll get Malkus. That's the real Issa of Gid HaNoshe Midaraisa. But then you have this external, additional sinew, Chitzon, which is Hasamach Labasar. It's not so deep. It's more superficial. So that's also Midirabanan. However, Ein Chayavim Olav, that's not an Issa Daraisa. You're not getting Malkus for eating it. So therefore, Midaraisa, it's edible. Therefore, Midaraisa, it's considered Basar. But since we don't eat it, Midirabanan, that's why it's mentioned separately over here. This Gid that we're referring to in the Mishnah is this Gid Hachitzon, which is only also Midirabanan, meaning that you should Midiraisa eat it because we achlu asabasa. Midirabana, we don't eat it, so therefore it requires sreifa, it's no sar. Then the Mishnah said, Chol Shisha Sovuhule. If in fact Shabbos is the second day of Pesach, first day of Pesach is Friday, the 15th is Friday, the 16th is Shabbos, so we said, you're not allowed to go and burn the no sar on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. If it falls on the Shabbos, you wait till Yud Zayin, you wait till Sunday and burn it on the second day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Where it says, why? V'amai? Nei se asei, v'yidche lo sasei. Why don't we say that the asei knocks apart the lo sasei? And therefore, there's an asei of going and burning the nosar, right? Yisarev. And it should knock off the lo sasei of you're not allowed to do malach on Shabbos or Yontif. You're not allowed to burn on Shabbos or Yontif. That's a lo sasei. But normally we have a rule that an asei is docha lo sasei. So the Gemara is going to give us four terutzim as to why this is not the case. First terutz is from Chizkiya. Amar Chizkiya, and likewise, Chayin Tana Devei Chizkiya, Lin, the base medish of Chizkiya, because the pasuk says, Amar Kra, Lo Sosi, Rimenu Ad Boker, Vanosor, Rimenu Ad Boker, Bo Eish Tisrofu. You're not allowed to leave anything over, and if you do leave it over, so then you burn it. That is the next word in this pasuk. It says, Lo Sosi, Rimenu Ad Boker. Of course, that's what Nosar means. It means till the next day. Shein tabalomar ad boker. You didn't have to tell me, vanosar mimenu ad boker, bo'eish tisrofu. You could have just said, vanosar mimenu, bo'eish tisrofu. Why did it say the extra words ad boker? To come to add an extra boker. Ma tabalomar ad boker, li tein lo boker, shein ilisrefaso. Because of the extra word ad boker, comes to tell me not the first boker, but the second boker. Go burn it on the first day, Chol HaMoed Pesach, which normally is going to be Tes Zayin, and not on the first day when it's Nosar, which is Tesva, which is Yontif. So you're right. Essay is Docha Losase, except when you have a pasuk telling you that it doesn't. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Abayamar, Amakra, the pasuk tells us, Olas Shabbos b'Shabbato. You are only allowed to burn the Ol of Shabbos on Shabbos. When you have the Korban Tavid on Shabbos morning, so you're allowed to burn it on Shabbos. We don't say wait till Motzei Shabbos, which technically is okay, but we say no, in our zeal to go do the mitzvah in the proper way. So Ol of Shabbos is allowed to be burned on Shabbos. Now that implies, however, below Olas Chol b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to burn the Ola from Friday on Shabbos. That you have to make sure that the Ola on Friday is burned up on Friday. You don't save it till Shabbos and burn it on Shabbos. Likewise, below Olas Chol b'Yontif, and likewise, the carbon Pesach, which is the carbon Chol, it's brought on Yudala, which is Chol, is not allowed to be burnt on Yontif. So you don't burn it on Tesov in the morning. You wait till the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach. That's Abayi's teretz. Teretz number two. Teretz number three is Rava's teretz. Rava Amar, Amar Kora, the pasuk says, Hu Luvado Yoselochem, that on Yontif, you're only allowed to do Ocho Nefesh. Only things that you need for yourself are allowed to be done on Yontif. So therefore, Hu Below Machshirov. This is the famous drasha that Rava says. Only the Ochel Nefesh itself is allowed to be done below Machshirov, but not the things that could have been done before Yontif. So anything that could have been done before Yontif, you're not allowed to do on Yontif. So therefore, the word Hu below Machshirov comes to tell me that you're not allowed to do anything else that isn't necessary for your eating it on Yontif. And since the Sreif over here is not necessary for your eating, so then go and wait to do it to the next day. It's not Docha Yontif. And by the way, the word levado, we have two drushas over here. Hu means hu v'lo machshirav. And levado, we turn to peidalad amud aleph. This comes to teach us v'lo milo shlo bismana, that a bris mila is docha Shabbos yantiv if it's bismana. But if it's not bismana, so then you're not allowed to be docha. Now, if we didn't have this pasuk levado, we would have been docha because of the famous kavachomer habami kavachomer. And this kavachomer Rashi points out over here, and Rashi says, if we didn't have the word levado, we would have learned out that you could do a mila shalobismana even on Shabbos Yontif. We would have learned that from the following kavachoma, asuba kavachoma. Now, we would have said, umatzaras shadocha esu avoda. If a person has tzaras, so he's not allowed to go do the avoda. Right? A kohen who has tzaras is possible to do the avoda. And the avoda is docha se Shabbos. So mila, which is docha es tzaras, if you have a tzaras on the orla, you're allowed to cut it off. Normally, you're not allowed to cut off a lesion of tzaras, but if it's on the arla, so you are allowed to cut it off. So therefore, through this kavah chomer, if tzaras is docha the avoda, and the avoda is docha Shabbos, and mila is docha tzaras, so I would have said even a mila shlo bismana is allowed to be docha Shabbos. I would have this kavah chomer, and therefore, I have the pasuk levado to tell me that that's not true. So in any event, these are three psukim, three different drashos that we have. The last one from Rava, the second one from Abaye, and the first one from Chizkia. They tell us why Aseh is not docha lo sase. Finally, the fourth teretz, the final teretz, Ravashi. Ravashi Omar, the pasuk says, Shabboson by Yontif. Shabboson, the Yontif, is making that you have a chiyav to go and rest on Shabbos and on Yontif. Shabboson, the Yontif, is an Aseh in and of itself. So you have an Aseh to go and not do work on Yontif, in addition to the lo sase that you're not allowed to do malacha. So therefore, you now have for Yontif both an Aseh and a lo sase, and the rule is, the ain Aseh docha lo sase v'aseh. The Aseh of burning the nosar cannot knock off an Aseh and a lo sase. It could knock off a lo sase. If you only had the lo sase of not doing malacha on Yontif, so then the Aseh of burning the nosar would knock it off. But now that you have an Aseh also for Yontif, Shabbason, as well as the lo sase of not doing malacha, so the Aseh of nosar can't knock off both of them. With this, we conclude today's shiur.